This month at Get My First Job, our big focus is all around recruitment. We want to figure out how it is that people smash their targets every month, they have a really good candidate pipeline, and they increase those fill rates. So we've decided we're going to interview Josh Lund. Josh Lund is our senior talent manager, recently promoted, and he's on our recruitment team here at Get My First Job. And we want to get some insight from him and pick his brains about how he does smash his target every month and how he gets to increase that vacancy fill rate. So tune in, and I hope you really enjoy it, and let us know what you think. Thanks. Bye now. Thank you very much for talking to us today, and congratulations on your recent promotion.
Thank you very much.
I hear you are now a senior talent manager.
I am indeed, yes.
Cool. Good for you. That's great.
Good stuff.
Right. Well, today we're here to basically chat about recruitment and recruitment processes, you know, why it takes some people so long to hire the best candidates and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make the stuff up. I just want to hear what you have to say about it, because that'll be far more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one of the things that a lot of recruiters talk about is how long it takes them to fill a vacancy. So I'd love to hear why you think recruiters in general have like a really hard time trying to fill their vacancies.
There's a couple of different things, really, I suppose. I mean, if you're using the talent portal, it makes it a lot quicker anyway, because obviously the alternatives are using sort of the government website or something along those lines. The time it takes, obviously, uploading the roles, getting it approved, and sort of getting the correspondence between the employer and the government website as well. So that's an extra couple of weeks there that you can cut out straight away using the talent portal.
So lengthy hiring practices, effectively.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it makes it so much quicker. You put the advert on straight away, it's up within sort of an hour or two once it's done the sweep through, and then you can begin the sort of proactive search from there.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's just that hard work between it. So building up your shortlist straight away, making the calls between the candidates, sort of getting the information out there, so using your bulk text, your emails, bits like that as well, getting as much information out there to the candidates as possible, and just keeping that constant communication with the candidates and the employers.
Yeah, so like giving you the opportunity and the time to actually do the recruiting.
Definitely.
And not you spending all your time doing the admin behind the recruiting.
Exactly, yeah. It's actually getting you the chance to get on the phone, speak to those people, promote the role, and then ultimately fill the role for the employers. Well, that's what we're here to do.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. One of the things that every recruiter has to do is basically hit their kind of targets for the month.
Yeah.
And try and get as many fills as possible. So do you think that there's like one piece of advice that you would give to those recruiters on how to make sure you get more fills every month?
Pick up the phone. I think it's as simple as that. We're targeted on hours we are spent on the phone, how many calls we make, inbound calls, outbound calls, bits like that. And it's quite clear between the more that you pick up the phone, it's the more people you're speaking to, the more employees. As long as you've got the roles there to fill, you're just going to get more fills that way. I had record month, I think it was 17 fills in 1 month, and it was like that was the highest I'd ever been on the phone as well. So it does quite nicely.
That's interesting. Oh, okay, cool. And then going back to the sort of technology around recruitment, like people wouldn't necessarily think that systems and technology and recruitment go hand in hand, but from what you're saying, they absolutely do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, certain stuff anyway, say like using the talent portal, because it's that simple system, it's there all together for you, nice and easy to use. Yeah, it's not a bit of technology that not everyone's using and probably should be using, because it'd make the whole recruitment process a lot smoother.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you've got certain colleges using, obviously the government, some people using other people that offer similar services to the talent portal. Mm. It'd be a lot smoother if everyone sort of used one, and one that works well, which does seem to be the talent portal.
So what is your favourite feature of the talent portal?
The proactive searching, easily.
What is proactive search exactly? Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, that's fine. So when you're shortlisting for a role, so say I've got a business admin role in Birmingham, I can put in a search for candidates within 5 miles that have got C's in their maths and English, and they drive, for example, and then it brings up every single candidate meets that criteria. So I know whatever the employer wants straight away, I'm only speaking to those people. So yeah. I've cut down all the people I don't need to speak to and wasting that time.
Yeah.
From using the experience of using the government website previously at another job to using this, it would be a nightmare. We'd all be, there's five of us in the office, all using the same candidates, all trying, I want to use them for this, I want to use them for that. And it was just a nightmare. Whereas we're working on roles, we can see all these different people interested in apprenticeships as well. That's the difference. They actually want to be spoken to about apprenticeships. So 95% of the time when you're picking up the phone to someone, they want to talk to you and they are interested in what you've got to say. It might not be the right role for them, but they are looking for something similar, which you may be able to help with as well.
Okay, great. And something else actually around that, Would you ever find that people who say they have an interest, they said they have an interest in business admin, but you're trying to recruit for like a, I don't know, an IT role or something like that, would you still call people and potentially find wildcards amongst, you know, the bunch who only think they're interested in business admin, but in fact, they'd be really good for, say, an IT role?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if we look at the qualifications, see what they've got already, if they fit that criteria. I mean, one of the roles we're working for is a large company at the moment. It's a really interesting role. It's highly paid. So my sort of initial call is, hi, look, you've registered your interest in this. Is that still the case? If they say no, it's actually now business admin rather than IT, I'd say, okay, fair enough. Just literally give me 10 seconds of your time. It's working for this company. This is a salary. This is what you're going to do. Could this be of interest to you?
Yeah.
And a lot of them do actually go, do you know what? That is actually really interesting. I do want to find out more. So you do surprise yourself. They think they're interested in that, but I'd rather go for this instead.
Yeah, and that's really what a good recruiter will do, you know, is like dig that little bit deeper. And
yeah, and it's 10 seconds of their time. If they're not interested, they'll say, look, fair, nope, sorry, I'm not. Okay, fair enough. I'll make a note of what you are interested in, and let me speak to you about that from now on. It's as simple as that, really.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Okay, great. And then when it comes to the kind of employer and recruiter relationship, do you think that there's anything in particular that you would say to employers to provide, and like, I don't know whether it's like a good job description or I don't know, a specific salary or anything like that, where you're like, this would be the ideal thing to have as a recruiter?
Yeah.
To fill a role.
Yeah, to make sure it's filled. I suppose a strong job description, so obviously it depends on sectors, but I mean, with an admin one, you get a lot of sort of just filing, answering the phone, just adding something in there makes it a bit more interesting. So maybe being in charge of their social media or something like that, or getting involved in sales, just something that's going to spark somebody's interest rather than just a plain apprenticeship role. And wage would definitely be the other thing. And what we can do quite easily is look at the sort of average wage that people are charging in that area. If you're only willing to pay £3.70 the minimum, and the average wage is £5 an hour in Manchester, for example, why would I apply for your role? I'd rather apply for something different. So if you're being competitive with everybody else out there and you've got that something special in your job description, then I'm going to apply for your apprenticeship as opposed to somebody else's, because the power is in the candidate's control, really. It's not us, it's the candidate. They choose where they want to go.
Yeah, great. Lovely. And then I suppose the final thing really is just around data. So like I heard earlier from Linda, the marketing manager, that we have 5,000 new candidates who've registered this month. Mm-hmm. So like from your perspective, the more data, the better, right? So the more data on the talent portal, the better. If you don't have the data, you don't find the candidate.
100%. Yeah, the more people are there, the more people we can potentially find an apprenticeship for. We need people to keep going on there, keep using it, keep applying for stuff. But yeah, so the more people on there, the better it is for us. It's more people we can speak to about different opportunities, because we get so many opportunities that come through. If it's from just a local business admin firm or accountancy firm to these massive companies like your Amazons or Barrett's or somebody like that, there's so many different opportunities out there. So people should be signing on and using it, definitely.
Yeah, great. So Josh, something else I was wondering about, like we know kind of what you're doing and how you use the talent portal system, but what's everybody else doing out there?
So the standard practice at the moment, so say, for example, somebody brings in a new role. So what you need to do is link the employer. So that normally takes a couple of days for the jobs board to contact the employer, get that link in place and get them basically looking for an apprentice. What you would then do is advertise the role. That gets checked between a week or two, as long as there are no mistakes, if it'll go live. If there are mistakes or something that's not quite right, it gets sent back to you. You have to do it again, and you wait that another week or so, however long it takes them to check the role. And then obviously it's just a live job on there. If nobody's interested and they don't think it's that for them, they're not going to apply for it. So you are waiting for applications. Obviously, when you use the talent portal, I don't need application. I've got 50, 60,000 people in the area already that I can start contacting. So I'm not sat there waiting for people to apply for my job. I'm already contacting them and getting that information out there as quickly as I can.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks a million for your time. That was really, really useful and insightful, Josh.
No problem at all.
Okay. Right, Josh. So this is probably the last bit of the interview here. So this is what we like to call our five fast facts section. So I've got to ask you five questions and hopefully you can give me answers to these five questions and there'll be some nice facts for the other recruiters out there.
No problem.
So I would love to know, what is your fastest fill?
Fastest fill, it was 7 days. So from getting the job in from the employer to having, they actually wanted one person. We managed to place two people in there in the end because of the quality of the candidates. But yeah, turned it around in 7 days.
Nice one. Okay, number two. What is the average number of fills that you've had over the last 6 months?
Over the last 6 months, probably looking at about probably 10 a month. I'm guessing around that sort of number. Obviously, that's varied depending on how much work that you've got on. But yeah, 10 months is a solid number.
Nice. Question number three. What is the most number of fills you've had in a month?
My record month was 17, which was my highest, which was a very nice month.
Well done. Well done, you. Question four. How many of your fills were a direct result of using the proactive search feature you spoke about earlier?
Yeah, so using that as opposed to people having actually applied for it, it's about 30% of them. So that's 30% of the roles that I wouldn't have filled if I didn't have that proactive search button that I could look for people as opposed to waiting for applicants.
Interesting. Okay, great. Question number five. We spoke earlier about wildcard roles.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us an example of a time that you've filled people who weren't necessarily interested in that?
Yeah, so one that we've done quite recently is for Amazon, actually. So they're looking for two IT apprentices in Cambridgeshire. We only had about two direct applicants, so there wasn't much going on. So what we did was a telephone campaign, getting the information out there as much as possible. We got between, probably around 10 to 15 applications for that, and that was a range of people who, yeah, look, I am really interested in IT, that's something I want to go for, to, do you know what, I've got a job at the moment, okay, can I just have 10 seconds of your time, explain the role to them, and then they turned around and say, do you know what, that's really interesting, actually, please send me the details, and they end up applying for it as well.
Okay, lovely. Thank you so much.
No worries.